Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we're going to look at week one matchup between Miami and Florida. So this is probably the most polarizing matchup of the entire, week one. We have a couple of things here that really stand out to me. So there are no coaching changes on either side. So you're going to get teams exactly as they were last year from an offensive and a defensive standpoint. So that really is something that helps us. We don't have to project what type of offenses, you know, what they're going to run, right? And so Florida will have the same quarterback, Graham Mertz, who is kind of polarizing in himself. You know, from an eye test standpoint, he just really doesn't check the boxes you would want, especially if you watch him play Wisconsin, God bless. But from a efficiency standpoint, he's actually much better than his counterparts in certain areas. And then Miami is going to get transfer Cameron Ward from Washington State at quarterback. I had touched base on him in earlier episodes when previewing the ACC quarterbacks coming in and returning. And I think there are a couple of things that really stand out. And I'm on the fence for taking a side during this game. Now, there are several props that I really like, and we will get into those as we go through the episode. But from a side standpoint, there are a couple things that give me pause and a couple things that stand out to me. So Miami, to me, outside of I really don't like Cristobal as a coach, I think you can, like, cite many areas where just horrible time clock management. Just like not, just decisions that just do not make any sense, but somehow here we are again. And so that type of, you know, that type of, I want to say misguided coaching always gives me pause when trying to back a team, right? So one thing, Cam Ward coming from Washington State, you know, they ran a pretty standard offense. They were, you know, running 11 personnel at a lower rate, but they ran 10 personnel primarily. So, you know, that's, you know, kind of where they stand, right? Miami, from a schematic standpoint on offense, they're going to run 11 personnel 52% of the time, which is 110th, and they're going to run 12 personnel 14% of the time. So that is, you know, those are kind of 11 personnel is lower than average. They're 110th in that. But what kind of stands out to me is there's not a lot of innovation to the offense. They're 112th in play action percentage, 23.4% of their pass attempts involve play action, and their average in motion dropback percentage. And so that in its own right gives me some reason to think that, you know, we're going to get this type of vanilla style offense. Now, that does not mean that they cannot succeed in this matchup, because Florida last year was just abysmal from a secondary standpoint. We will get more into that as we dive in. But again, I feel like I harp on this every episode. They were 103rd in pass attempts that did not involve, that did not have any type of motion or play action in them. And 103rd, that's 53% of their passing attempts. And they were 48th in EPA per those attempts. Now, that seems like, oh yeah, that's above average, but it's still a negative EPA. So even though it's above average, is it really though? You know, I mean, still bad. From a, you know, a standpoint, an efficiency standpoint. So one thing that stands out to me for Miami is they are going to probably look to force feed Xavier Restrepo, who is their primary slot wide receiver and who is extremely good. They were 52nd in slot attempts percentage last year, 38.3%. So that's not like a super elevated rate, but he is the primary slot receiver. So even though the slot attempts percentage is lower, he is going to be out there in those type of 11 personnel slot play. Like, he is going to be getting those reps. So the volume should be there. Now, when we go to the defensive side of the ball, Miami, you know, they're decent enough. You know, the returning production profile is probably the best thing I could say about them overall. And that's simply because they're one of a handful of teams that is going to bring back top 45 returning production from top 45 units from last year. So they're 12th in returning production, returning offensive production, 42nd in offensive S&P plus last year, and then they're 15th in defensive returning production from a defense that was 40th in S&P plus. So the expectations for this team is extremely high. You know, 9.5 win total. I don't know if they're going to reach that. I just don't know. I don't know if they will. On the opposite side of the ball, Florida runs an offense the type of offense you would want in a modern style offense. And you would think they would do a little bit better when it comes to the efficiency. But I think as long as they're still leaning into that type of tactics, that the efficiency will come. So they were fifth in 11 personnel attempts percentage. So 94.2% of the time in 11 personnel. So that is their base personnel. That they're gonna stick with that. You know, that's what they're gonna stick with. Excuse me. 35th, 81.7%, and then 12 personnel, 17% of the time. So they are not going to be looking at any super exotic looks outside of those two personnels, and they were decent enough in them. But what stands out more than anything is that Florida is going to use motion at the highest rate in college football. They had motion in their passing attempts 68.3% of the time. That's number one in the country, and their EPA on those motion attempts was 39th overall. So that is, you know, that is the modern style offense. And they were 49th in play action dropback percentages too. So at 33%, nothing to, like, you know, scoff at. Now, when you're looking at the most efficient type of passing attempt, that is the passing attempt where you have motion and play action. They ran that the fourth highest amount of times, 20.7% of the time. And it was 49th in EPA there. But the thing is, you know, even though you're like, oh, that was 49th in EPA, it was still eight times what the average EPA is for that type of attempt. So extremely efficient. And then they limit the amount of passing attempts that does not have motion or play action. They are number one in that category, attempting those extremely inefficient passes 21% of the time. So, okay, with all that being said, you know, the offensive side of the ball, I like the schematics. I like Billy Napier. I think, you know, he is better than what he's been given credit for as a coach. I just think from an execution standpoint, they just have not gotten there. But from a talent standpoint, they are good. You know, they're very good. Now, defensively, Florida struggled, especially in the secondary, against a ton of different motions and a ton of different, whether it was 11 personnel, 12 personnel, they just struggled, right? So one thing that also stood out to me that I feel like they're going to need to improve upon is they blitzed. Their blitz rate was ranked 36th overall. But when they blitzed, they had the 128th ranked EPA per blitz attempt. So they're just getting demolished when they blitz, you know, and that's worrisome, you know, like, because you're just leaving your guys out on an island, and they're just getting destroyed when it comes to that. So one thing that stands out to me is when you're looking at Miami quarterback Cameron Ward, he was 62nd in EPA per attempt versus the blitz. So that's not elite level, but that's not like shoddy either. So like he will have success if they continue to blitz at those elevated rates. But when I'm looking at the overall standpoint, Ward is 82nd in EPA versus attempt versus power five defenses, whereas Mertz is 44th, which does not seem like that would make a lot of sense because you're like, oh, he wasn't that good, you know, whatnot. And so you're thinking like, there's no way he's, you know, going to be, you know, that high up. And then a couple other things, EPA per pass attempt when trailing in the second half, Mertz was 18th overall, which is really good. So he could lead a comeback of some sort in that aspect. And then Ward was actually 114th. So he is not built for that type of come behind. And that's mainly because Washington State's offense was not built around being explosive and being able to do those type of things. So a couple of other things when we're looking at the extended red zone, we can look at the offensive side of the ball. And this is what really stands out to me for Florida. When they had their opportunities inside their opponent's 40, they were sixth overall in EPA per attempt. And you would not think that looking at the outside metrics. And that's not just sixth overall versus all competition. That's sixth overall versus all Power Five teams. So that is like the best of the best that you're facing, ranking sixth overall. Just an incredible mark, right? Miami, on the other hand, more towards the average. They were 42nd on offense. Now, when we go to the defensive side of the ball, you know, Florida's defense is a sieve. There's just like no way to write around it. But if I told you that their defense was better when facing adversity inside their own 40, then Miami, you would probably think I'm full of it. But they were. They were 55th in EPA per attempt inside their own 40, whereas Miami was 59th in EPA per attempt inside their own 40. So that leans me to want to side with Florida, even though I think the game is extremely close, and I think it has the potential to go either way. Now, what is more intriguing to me is going to be a couple of props, but I know that not everybody has the ability or the potential to place those bets because of where you may live in this sad country of ours. But starting off, Miami Xavier Restrepo, he had 87 slot targets last year, and he was 95th in EPA per slot target. Now, like I harped on earlier, Miami does not attempt a ton of volume from the slot. They're 52nd in slot attempts, but he is the primary guy. Like he, you know, if they're running 11 personnel, he is the guy. And Florida last year was 131st in EPA per slot attempt. So, I mean, that right there just opens up the potential for a gigantic game for him. And they're passing at above average PROA rates, PROE rates, plus 1.74% on standard downs, 3.73% on passing downs. Now, when I look at the opposite side, the wide receiver that stands out to me for Florida is going to be Eugene Wilson. And I think you know, he is probably going to play the X. That's what he is rated at. But he is going to move around a little bit. And he is by far the best receiver on this team. And I'm not even close. You know, he is the best receiver. And Miami last year, when facing wide attempts, so X receiver attempts, they were 131st in EPA per attempt. So that right there just tells me that there is a gigantic hole on the boundary that he can definitely take care of. Now, he is going to be a sophomore this year, and Ricky Purcell is gone. He's in the NFL playing for San Francisco. And so this is his receiving room. And, I mean, I believe firmly that he's going to be able to take advantage of anything, you know, that he can. And so being that he is going to be the one, probably the go-to guy for Mertz, I think there's going to be openings in the secondary, as we have said. And he has the versatility to move around enough to where he could get, you know, schemed looks, open layup looks, things like that. And Florida does that with their tactics on offense, as we have said. They are a little more modern and nuanced than Miami. So that is going to be it for this matchup and this episode. As always, if you would like to reach out to me have any suggestions, comments, concerns for either future content or just in general, you can reach me at on my Twitter or at themittnermethod@gmail.com. Other than that, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.